This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين beloved brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين always forever we begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله we testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى and we send our love and our greetings our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to his pious and his pure family to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time may Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless us to be amongst them آمين آمين والحمد لله الحمد لله last week was the last we spoke about the end of the previous Hijri year and we enter a new Hijri year we spoke also about the Why is it called the Hijri calendar? What event, you know, signified the start of our calendar? The Quran was revealed 13 years before the Hijrah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born 50 years before the Hijrah. So why did we choose this event? And as we mentioned, this was a ijtihad, a decision by the Sahaba, not the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, there was no Hijri calendar. They just knew that there were months, that there's Muharram, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. They knew the months. And they knew the order. But when they said day one, day zero, the Sahaba chose the Hijrah. And it was because at this moment, we as a Ummah, as a nation, we had formed a state. And we went from a position of being a persecuted minority to being able to control our own fate and our own destiny. And really, subhanAllah, every year, I mentioned this at the Muharram March, every year we have the Hijri calendar tick over. It is, think about it, back then when the Sahaba started the calendar, it was still a strange experiment. Will this idea of Islam really prevail in a world filled with enemies? Will this tiny little village of Medina, this light in a desert of darkness, will it not be extinguished? And so the Hijri year was not just a new year, it was really an anniversary, a celebration of we've made it. You know, subhanAllah, like people when they have their wedding anniversary, it's a celebration, a commemoration, but it's almost like gains, we survived another year, we made it through another year. And that's sort of what the Sahaba must have felt like, you know, when they started the state of Medina. And so we must remind ourselves that we are a continuation of that story. And every generation of this Ummah comes with its own challenges. Now we all know the global challenges of Palestine. The Muslim Ummah is in a very, very low place. The Muslim Ummah is in a place that is not one of the glory days. There was times when we were dominant in the world and there are times when we had catastrophes. We're not at the lowest point. There were worse days than this. And the Ummah is in a state of weakness but also revival. And one always asks, if the Nabi was here today, what would he do? If he was here today, what would he do if he was in charge of the Ummah? If we could bring him back. And perhaps let's look at what he did when he came to Medina. And he had very similar challenges that we have today. He had to fight an ideological battle. The world was in the state of kufr, in jahiliyyah. He had to spread Islam throughout the world. He's the last Nabi, meaning there's no more chances after him. He has a community that is being bombarded from all areas, all over. We have enemies, internal enemies, external enemies, the Quraysh, and then there's the superpowers. So while the Muslims are having an issue with the Quraysh, those are Mickey Mouse stuff compared to the big superpowers. Like when we talk about our issues, we say, well, we're not on the level of America and Russia and China. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived in a time when there were much bigger superpowers, the Romans and the Persians. And also, we sometimes romanticize the Sahaba and we think everything was mashaAllah, Tala al-Badru alayna, they all were in the masjid, they were all happy and smiling. These were people with human problems. There were marriages that were failing. There were people that were going to bed hungry. In fact, the Sahaba had huge social issues that we experience, if not more. He had to transform a society socially. What's the point? You have a masjid, beautiful masjid, but the people around you are starving. People don't have homes. It's raining, like we're experiencing now. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inherits all of this. And so let's see what he does. And he does many things when he establishes the Madani state. But three things we mentioned today, and these are lessons for us in as we build our little ummah here in Cape Town and then globally. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived in Medina, he arrives first in a place called Quba. Quba is a suburb outside Medina. Think of Belleville and town. So he comes to Belleville and he's going on the N1 towards town. And he actually stays in Quba, the suburb, for a few days. He arrives on a Monday and he leaves only Friday. So he stays there 4 days, 4 or 5 days in Quba. And the first thing he does, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he builds his own home, before he establishes anything else, he takes the Salah Khana in Quba and he makes it into a masjid. He builds a masjid. And when he comes to Medina Central, to town, again, when he enters Medina, all the people are, you know, gathering around him and they're cheering and they're all saying, come to my house, come sleep by me, this is the barakat, whatever. He says, guys, leave the camel. He says to the Sahaba, leave the camel. Let the camel decide what I'm going to do. Allah is going to guide her. Qaswa is the name of the camel, the Nabi Sallam. And the camel walks and then she kneels down in a spot. And the Nabi says, Allah has chosen this spot for the masjid. Before his own house, we're going to build a masjid here. And the masjid, as we said, is the heart and soul of the community. Before the Muslims in Mecca for 13 years, they were Muslims. Abu Bakr and Umar, great Sahaba, they didn't have a masjid. They weren't allowed to build a masjid. But the minute you have a masjid, this is symbolic, you are now a community. You have a presence. And in our context here in South Africa, we know it took us almost 100 years before we were able to officially have a masjid. The awliya and the Muslim community who started, we know they were slaves, they were exiles, they were not allowed to practice Islam publicly. And what they would do is, they would go outside here, where Kapini Street Masjid is, used to be a quarry, open land, like a mining area. And the men would just come do a type of Jumu'ah, unofficially, no masjid, and then they would go back to their work, trying to hold on to Islam as best they can. And until Tuanguru wrote to Queen Victoria, petitioned, eventually Awal Masjid was not given. SubhanAllah, it wasn't given. It took someone, a lady who comes from a slave background. Her parents were slaves. They worked their whole life to buy a house. Now think of in our context, how difficult is it to buy a house? Who of you, I'm speaking to myself, who of us would give our house as a masjid and not our kids? This lady gets a house inherited from her parents. And instead of giving it over to her kids, she allowed Tuanguru, here's a room in my house, you can use it as the madrasa here in the house. As she gets older, she says, you know what, the Queen of England allows us now to have an official masjid. But where are we going to buy a property? We are slaves. There's no millionaires or billionaires in that Muslim community. We're not going to be able to buy anything. And so this auntie says, you know what, Bismillah, my house will be the masjid. Awwal Masjid. The lady has been dead for 300 years, but her masjid is still standing. Every single Muslim in this country, whatever salah is made, whatever Quran is recited, whatever nikah is done, it's to that lady's credit, subhanAllah. So this, who of us would do this? Donate our house as the masjid. And so this is exactly where the community begins. And alhamdulillah, all these masajid in the area, they have a similar story. There is something beautiful about a masjid which is built by a community. Yes, you live in a Muslim country, the government comes, they build it. The community, they had no input in it. Allah says about Masjid Quba, the first masjid in Islam. Allah says, a masjid who was ussat ala taqwa, its foundation stone is taqwa. Before we put a brick there, it required all of us to have a meeting, the community come together. Guys, we want a masjid. Then there's arguing and debating and fighting, which way is the qibla? But eventually, we are united on our taqwa. And we said, we will start. And that first day, we dig the trench. It is taqwa that began it. And Allah says, this, a masjid like this, is the most beautiful type of masjid. And all these masajid, even this masjid, 150 years old, subhanAllah. And so the Nabi Sallam began by building a masjid. And special, so those who get to build masajid, only very special people. There's a reason why Sayyidina Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Ismail built the Kaaba. There's a reason why Nabi Sallam built Masjid al-Nabawi and the Sahaba. Why Nabi Ishaq built Masjid al-Aqsa. The greatest masajid are built by the best of people. And then the good people build the other masajid. And not only building a masjid, very few people get an opportunity to build a masjid. You don't build a masjid every day. But it requires daily someone to maintain. The lights don't just miraculously. We don't make dua and the lights go on. Or make dua and there's a special dua the imam makes and it's clean. People do this every day, every Jumu'ah. Before we come in here, someone opens, unlocks and does it. Before we leave, when we leave, they stay behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these people in the Quran. Allah speaks about the mutawallis, the people who administer the masjid. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ Allah. That it is only befitting that the masajid of Allah will be maintained by people, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. True believers. In other words, Allah says, only a true, Allah testifies to your iman, subhanAllah. If you have the opportunity to be a treasurer, to be the caretaker, the cleaner of the masjid, if you have anything to do with the masjid, Allah testifies, only people of iman would want to do this. Man amana billah wal yawmil akhir. And you care about the akhirah. You're not going to do this, waste your time for any other reason, because you believe in the akhirah. Wa aqama salah. You are not just making salah, you establish salah. Making salah is one thing for yourself, but you facilitate everyone else to make jumu'ah. You establish salah. Wa ata zakah, and you make sure that zakah is being done. Where does zakah come? In the masjid. This is where zakah is collected and distributed. Wa lam yakhsha illa Allah. And your fear, your only concern is the pleasure of Allah. Why? Maybe, Allah alam. Yes, in the masjid committee, there's a lot of khilaf and fighting and, you know, it's not always hunky-dory, but you come there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Then Allah says, subhanAllah, فَعَسَى. Allah says, perhaps, and as we know in the tafsir, you should know this, take a side note. Whenever Allah says, فَعَسَى, maybe, perhaps, it is taken to be, inshaAllah, it will be the case. For Allah says, فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. And perhaps these people would be people on true guidance. To be the mutawalli of the masjid, to be a custodian of the masjid is a great honor. And we have, alhamdulillah, opportunity for you this Sunday at our AGM to be a mutawalli of this masjid. Our AGM is coming up. This organization is just not only a masjid. It is a nursery school. It is a soup kitchen. It does publications. It teaches. Classes are being done. Opportunity. All of us hope and desire, one day I want to do it. Very few take that desire and translate it into activity. And very few still have, when things are tough, because it means you will have a meeting 8 o'clock at night after work. It means that you must now be burdened with some, if you're the treasurer, go through bank statements, all the boring stuff. But only special people that Allah selects have the perseverance. So that, and wallahi, how many people do we sit on their bedside before they pass away? Not a single person will tell you on his bed when he's about to die, you know, I had this promotion and I was on this, I had this bonus in my career. The only things you will remember and the things that you will say, my dad was on the masjid committee. My dad built that masjid. My dad helped that soup kitchen. No one cares about how much hours you put at work. The only people who cares about how much hours you put at work are your kids who don't see you at night. Those are the only people that feel it. Your boss doesn't care. Your job doesn't care. Opportunity to have something on your CV with Allah that is meaningful. Be a mutawalli of a masjid. That's a great opportunity. So even though you're not in the masjid 5 times a day, who can do that? The masjid is operating 5 times. That's your investment in your akhirah. It's opportunity, inshallah. So the first thing the Nabi does before he builds his own house, we need a masjid. Because this is the heart and soul of our community. This is what it means to be a Muslim community. We have a place of worshipping Allah. Our job in this world is not to conquer the world. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the place of worship. Also, the masjid is not just for salah. It is the center for our community problems. The Nabi's masjid was a place of refuge. People didn't have homes, they came to the masjid. A lady wants a husband, she comes to the masjid. A lady complains about her husband, masjid. Classes are needed, the masjid. This is the place where we fix our, it's our government, our parliament. And Allah says, whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, Allah guarantees you a house in Jannah. Allah guarantees you. You will get, you take care of one of my homes in the dunya. Not Allah lives in the masjid, of course. But this is for Allah's sake. I will guarantee you your place in Jannah. So this is the priority. So the Nabi Sallam builds the masjid. And now it's symbolic, we are a community. And the stronger our masajid and our masajid committees, the stronger our community. When you have masjids that have no committees or no imams, that tells you that community does not have the priorities in order. A strong committee. The masjid also, by the way, is not measured by how beautiful the architecture is. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid was a very simple structure. It didn't even have a roof proper. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid was a very, very simple thing. But it was filled with pious people. A masjid that is administered by good people and people who come to it to make salah. That is what's important. It's the people that make a masjid special. So we hope, inshallah, that's a lot of marketing, but it's an opportunity for you. Allah will ask you, you had the opportunity, what did you say? I leave that to you. The second thing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, not enough to have the masjid, because here in the masjid, alhamdulillah, we feel good. When we go outside, I'm still hungry, my kids are still crying, I have social problems. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's priority in this first stage, you don't find rituals being, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not, there was no hijab, alcohol was still allowed, there was no hajj. So what are you doing, Ya Rasulullah? You're not even giving Sharia. I need to fix my society's problems. And this is where you find the concepts of ukhuwa, brotherhood, all the things that we talk about. When one part of the body hurts, the entire body hurts. These hadith are now mentioned at this time. We need to work together to form a new community, a new society. And look at this beautiful hadith. The Nabi says, a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He never hurts him, oppresses him, and he does not fail him. When the Muslim is in need, we assist one another. And whoever removes a worldly grief. We're not only akhirah focused. Your brother has a problem in his dunya. Whoever helps him in his dunya problems, Allah will make sure that you are removed a akhirah problem the day of qiyamah. Allah will take care of you in the akhirah. Take care of your brother in the dunya, Allah takes care of you in the akhirah, on the day of judgment. And whoever shields a Muslim from harm in this dunya, Allah will shield you from harm in the akhirah. You can't outdo Allah. You do good in the dunya, Allah will outdo you in goodness in the akhirah. You are not a perfect believer if you eat your fill and the people around you, your neighbors, are hungry. And so the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did a very, you know, now we see the strategy of the man. He's not just a Nabi, he's a leader, he's a CEO, he's a politician, he's a president. He takes a census. How many families do we have? How many mouths do we have to feed? How many men, ladies? If we get invaded, how much armor do we have? And he already realized, Ya Rasulullah, we short homes. The muhajirin coming from Makkah, they don't have homes. Refugees. We in the desert, water is already scarce. Now it's even more scarce. We don't have enough water. So what do? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at this problem and he came up with an ingenious strategy. He said, guys, this is the problem we have in our community. We need to make sure everyone is eating. Everyone has a house. Everyone is safe. I'm not going to tell the rich, you give me your money, and I'm going to say, brother, you take care of that brother. Don't take care of the whole community. You just look after one person. You look after one person. And then Nabi Sallam partnered up. He says, who of you are willing to assist? You 100 want to assist? We'll take 100 there. And you just take care of one family. And this is the beauty. He made a big social problem an individual problem. I'm not asking you to fight crime, the whole country's crime, or solve the whole ummah's issues. Just take care of your kids' madrasa. Just take care of your masjid on the corner. Just take care of the youth in your area, your own children. See to yourself, if everyone does that, alhamdulillah. And so he had this policy called the mu'aha, a deeper sense of brotherhood, where one family bonded with another family. And mashallah, this is where the Ansar, the people of Medina, excelled. The Sahaba of Makkah were so shocked. They said, I've never seen a more generous people. They share their food. They share their homes. In fact, their house, they said, you take half, I take half. As long, my brother, what you need, whatever you need, it is for you. And of course, he then looked at resources, scarce resources. I always reflect on this. In our country, we have a 10% that controls everything and a 90% that's struggling. How do we redistribute this wealth? Yes, so those who are wealthy need to partner and genuinely love. When you give charity, it shouldn't be a tax. We force you. You must say, wallahi, I want my what I give my kids, I want that child Nikalicha to feel the same. I would hate for my child to be sleeping on the road in the rain. So how can I expect someone else's child to be going through that? That's what the Nabi taught. But also he was strategic. When the Ansar wanted to give their businesses and their farms to the Muhajirin, he said no. A nationalization of the farms, he said no. Because if we break the farm structure, then we're going to have even a bigger problem in terms of resources. We need the best people managing our resources. Charity is one thing. When we come to business and efficiency, we need the best people managing our resources. And therefore, he did not allow the Ansar to give up their farms. He said, you can share the profit. Ask the Muhajirin to help you. They are business people. So you do the farming, let them do the marketing, the selling. But let them not, don't give them your land, and then they don't utilize the land. And then, of course, subhanAllah, time is always against us. Beautiful. The Muhajirin, they come as refugees. Some of them were able to come with their money. Uthman radiallahu anhu was one of those who came, was allowed to come with his money. And he now invests in this community, this new community. He comes to Medina and he sees that water is in scarce supply. And the people who own the wells of Medina are the Jews. MashaAllah. Always ahead of the curve, right? They just have it. And so now, when they understand supply and demand long before, no, they all seem to have a degree in economics, right? So the minute that the Muhajirin came to Mecca, the price of water increased. If you want from the well, a liter costs so much. And the people couldn't afford this. So Sayyidina Uthman asks this Jewish man, sell your well to me. I want to buy the well. So the man gives a ridiculous price, 10 million rand for the well. Man says, I only have like 1 million rand. So this is, now, even though the well is worth 1 million, now the price is good. You need to give me a 10 million. So Uthman says, okay, how about this? I buy half your well. He says, how are you going to buy half my well? One day you use the well, and one day I use the well. So the Jewish guy thinks this guy is stupid. Because if I get his million, I still get to pump as much liters as I want on my day. So I get free, 1 million rand for free. So Sayyidina Uthman says, fine, let's do that. So Sayyidina Uthman bought the well on certain days. Then Uthman said, on my days, the water is free. Everyone who wants water can take it for free. So of course the Jewish guy, no one bought water on his day. His well became useless. Whereas everyone is pumping on Uthman's day. Then the Jewish guy came to Uthman and says, you know, don't you buy the other half now also? My half is useless and I'll give you a very good price. And Sayyidina Uthman says, no problem. And then he bought the well complete. And he said, now the entire well is waqf. That well is still going in Medina, the well of Uthman. Three times that Sayyidina Uthman, the Nabi says, you guarantee Allah has given you Jannah. One of that is this. So you can get your Jannah by setting up a soup kitchen. You don't have to be Sayyidina Uthman, a well and Sahaba. You can set up a soup kitchen here. You can help someone give blankets out here and guarantee your Jannah. It's not all about the masjid only. So he says, masjid is not my thing. Help the community in some way. And then the last thing, and subhanAllah, we can talk more about this, but then we did this successfully as a community in Cape Town. Muslim minorities, alhamdulillah, they work well together. Our masjid, our schools, our madrasas, but then it's us and we forget the rest of the non-Muslim community. We're only 2%. There's 98% suffering, struggling. What the Nabi did was he made alliances with the non-Muslims, the Jews of the community. And he said, we are one city. We help you and you help us. We support you and protect you and you do the same. And there was a charter that he had with this. And so subhanAllah, this beautiful hadith, the Nabi conquers Medina. Today, this time there's a lot of elections. Different countries have new presidents. The Nabi is now the president of Medina. And there are many non-Muslims who are looking, who's this guy, what's he going to do? The rabbi, the chief rabbi of Medina, he says, the first time I met the Nabi Sallam, he gave this speech. Very simple speech. He said, "Ya," people are asking, "Ya Rasulullah, what do you command us? What must we do? What's going to happen? What's the new agenda? What's the parliament going to do?" He says, "Oh my people, afshu salam, spread peace. My command to you is, be peaceful. Make salam, assalamu alaikum, and be peaceful. Make peace. No one must fight anybody else. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ and make your focus to feed a hungry person. Let our agenda as under, imagine the president of South Africa, his first address, we are going to prioritize peace. And we're going to prioritize feeding the hungry. وَأَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامُ and be good to your family. Keep close relations with your family. Be good to your mom, your daughters, your children. Be good to your family. وَصَلُّ وَنَاسُ النِّيَامُ and then make salah when no one sees you at night. Make salah at night. تَهَجُّد تَدَخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامُ very beautiful tongue. Do those four things, you'll enter Jannah very, very easily. make peace, feed the hungry, be good to your family, make salah at night when people are sleeping, you are guaranteed you'll go to Jannah. Bisalam, easily. You will get to Qiyamah, express first class. We all hope for that first class ticket that said express. I mean, this is how it is. And so inshaAllah, if the Nabi were here, I believe he would do these same. Allah knows best. And these are not things that we need to strategize and think deeply, but these are things that we can do. So I ask all of us to get involved in these initiatives to help and build the next chapter of the Muslim community globally and for the Ummah here in South Africa particularly. I mean, inshallah. We thank everyone for supporting the Muharram March. It was highly successful. More than 1,000 people came in spite of the rain. But again, only by the support of our community was it possible. And then our AGM, as we said, the 21st of July, Sunday, 10:30. We hope to see you there. Give your comments. You're part of this masjid. And then lastly, a very special birthday notice to Ubaid. He's always in the background. Every single lecture we do, weekends, whatever, evenings, he's always there in the background. He sometimes plays games, but he is monitoring the slides. Alhamdulillah, Allah grant him a long life and barakah, and Allah bless him. He's in the masjid quite a lot, so Allah grant him to always be attached to the masjid and grant him all the best in his studies and his future. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum.